Welcome to First Formation, spiritual exercise for Christian soldiers looking to get the fuck up and pray. Join Pew Pew HQ every weekday morning to hear the good news through grunts and with grunts, in the unity of the Holy Spirit as one church, forever and ever. Fall in. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 15 through 28. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, take a stick and write on it, for Judah and the people of Israel associated with him. Then take another stick and write on it, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel associated with him. And join them one to another into one stick, that they may become one in your hand. And when your people say to you, will you not tell us what you mean by these? Say to them, thus says the Lord God. Behold, I am about to take the stick of Joseph that is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel associated with him. And I will join with it the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, that they may be one in my hand. When the sticks on which you write are in your hand before their eyes, then say to them, thus says the Lord God. Behold, I will take the people of Israel from the nations among which they have gone, and I will gather them from all around and bring them to their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land and on the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king over them all, and they shall no longer be two nations and no longer divided into two kingdoms. They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols and their detestable things or with any of their transgressions. But I will save them from all the backslidings in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. My servant David shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall walk in my rules and be careful to obey my statutes. They shall dwell in the land that I gave to my servant Jacob, where your fathers lived. They and their children and their children's children shall dwell there forever. And David, my servant, shall be their prince forever. I'll make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will set them in their land and multiply them, and will set their sanctuary in their midst forever. My dwelling place shall be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel, when my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore. Revelation chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and amazing. Seven angels with seven plagues, which are the last, for with them the wrath of God is finished. And I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and also those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name, standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hand. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Good morning and welcome to the fourth Monday of Eastertide. This is Brother Logan Isaac broadcasting from Walkersville, Maryland. This morning's readings come to us from Psalm 100, Ezekiel 37, and Revelation 15. But being May 9th, it's also the feast day of Pachomius of Thebes, a soldier saint that I profile in chapter 8 of God is a Grunt and More Good News for GIs. You can find out more about Pachomius at pewpewhq.com/people/Pachomius. It's P-A-C-H-O-M-I-U-S, Pachomius of Thebes. Pachomius was caught up in a conscription in Egypt. And we don't know much about his life before the military. And we know a little bit, but not a whole lot. But Pachomius is caught up in this conscription, and he is trained by the Roman army to fortify abandoned villages so that they can become, you know, kind of outposts of the empire. And Egypt was an interesting province because it answered directly to the emperor. Syria and Judea and, you know, a lot of other remote provinces, they had their own senator, or it's called a senatorial province, and they didn't answer directly to the emperor. There was an appointed politician who kind of governed in Caesar's place. But Egypt, maybe because of its history with Mark Antony and Cleopatra or something, I don't know, the Egyptian province answered directly to the emperor, just like Italy. And anyway, so Pachomius was trained to create forts from abandoned villages. And he only really did his initial training period. And conscripts, because, you know, who knows if they're going to run, they sometimes will get locked up. Not exactly imprisoned, but think if there were, on your barracks door, there were locks on the outside. That's kind of what it was. Because you got food, and I believe conscripts got paid. But it wasn't something that everybody wanted. I mean, they were conscripted, right? They were drafted against their will. And so to keep people from running off, they would lock them up during training. And this was the case with Pachomius. And also because they're the lowest on the pecking order, they also didn't get the best food. And sometimes if there wasn't any food left, they wouldn't get any food. And so in Egypt, and he wasn't trained in Thebes, he was trained, I can't remember where he was trained. But wherever he was trained, there were a community of Christians who would bring food to these imprisoned recruits, conscripts. And this really kind of softened Pachomius' heart. And something happens. He doesn't end up being conscripted. Depending on who, you know, which scholar you read, there was a civil war and the emperor changed over, and, you know, and so that kind of batch of conscripts was just let go. They didn't want him anymore. But he was released, and this experience with these Christians who brought him food in the locked barracks, it really kind of stayed with him, and he decided to think about becoming a Christian, and he eventually did. And Pachomius is known more widely as the founder of communal or cenobitic monasticism. And that's not entirely true. It's mostly true. I say that because in Grunt God, one of the things that I talk about in the chapter in which I profile Pachomius is, you know, monasticism and anchoritic or eremitic monasticism. Anchorites and hermits are what we often think of as the earliest monastics. They go off in the desert alone, and, you know, like Antony the Great? I can't remember his suffixes, but St. Antony is kind of the most well-known because Jerome writes a biography about him. But Antony, it always kind of struck me as odd, not odd, it just bothers me, the idea that you can go off to the desert and be on your own and just, you know, that's somehow holy. And I say it bothers me because I'm jealous, like I'm an introvert. And it sure would be nice, I think, if I could just be holy by sitting off in a cave by myself somewhere. And now that I have kids, I thought this before, but I think it even more now. You're missing out on a certain kind of character formation if you're never a parent, because you really find out how much of an asshole you really are. And holiness, insofar as it's about self-improvement, I think parents are capable of being a certain kind of holy that childless monastics are not. And so I was researching this chapter on Pachomius and monasticism, and it turns out Antony not only didn't found it, there wasn't necessarily a break between the ancient Jewish forms of, you know, traveling bands of prophets, but more importantly, Antony was an outlier by going out to the desert to be alone. The earliest monastics in the post-Christian period were Syrian monks who did not go off into the desert, but who were urban monastics, and sometimes they were solitary. Usually they were solitary, but not always. Sometimes there were groups of them, but they didn't flee the city. One of the things with veterans is, if you look at the kind of aggregate data, recruits mostly come from the south, and then veterans mostly are located or highly concentrated in northern rural states, Montana, Maine, Alaska. Virginia is the outlier because it has DC, and you get a bunch of vets with veteran preference that work in the federal government. And so the idea that you come from an urban setting, but then you kind of run off to the wilderness is appealing to me as an introvert, but also it happens as a veteran, that that's kind of what we do. And I think that can be an easy way of avoiding the corruption and the disappointment of urban civilian centers. And so it's easy, I think, in a certain way, to run off and be alone. It's hard to, especially as a veteran, to live in, you know, denser population areas and have to deal with an increasing number of civilians who don't understand you, who want to put you in some kind of fucking box. And Pachomius, what he did was he took his military training and he used it for the church, no longer fortifying abandoned villages, but he made them monasteries. So he's the first monastic to actively recruit people. And by the time he died, he had something like 3,000 women and 6,000 men in these monastic Pachomian communities. And I think spirituality is better together. As I said in I think, like the prologue or maybe the chapter on Cain and Grunt-God, there are two things that are baked into humanity. The one is, or all creation, one is we are all good, we're made good, full stop. The other is that we are made to be together. The only thing that is called not good is to be alone, which is literally the Hebrew word bad, from bedad, which means to be isolated, and it's even used to indicate a military deserter in the book of Isaiah. And so it's appealing to be alone. It's easier to be alone. It's a challenge to face the difficulties and the slings and arrows of ignorance and bias and harassment or discrimination. But I think that's what God calls us to, is to be together, even with the people that frustrate us and with people that we don't want to be with. We are made for being together. And Pachomius had that sense clearly. And he fundamentally reoriented Western Christianity when it thinks about monasticism from these lone wolves to these groups and communities that did good and were good. A prayer for families, adapted from the Book of Common Prayer. Almighty God, our heavenly home, we commend to your continual care the houses in which your people dwell. Put far from us, we beseech you, every root of bitterness, the despair of vainglory, and the pride of life. Fill them with faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. Knit together in constant affection those who, in holy wedlock, have been made one flesh. Turn the hearts of the parents to the children, and the hearts of the children to the parents, and so enkindle fervent charity among us all, that we may evermore be kindly affectioned to one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for falling in to First Formation, where Pew Pew HQ shares morning prayers for the humble, hardy folk caught in the crosshairs of God and country. If you like what you've heard, you can participate in one of the three following ways. First, you can support the podcast at patreon.com/pewpewhq. You can contribute as little as $1 a month, and you can cancel at any time if I ever piss you off. Second, you can become a co-host by recording a lectionary reading for a future episode. Instructions will be provided, and you don't have to be a grunt to collaborate with Pew Pew HQ in this or any way. Finally, you can also record and send prayer requests of a minute or less. Prayers can be included in an episode, read anonymously if you wish, or kept private for me to pray for off-air. So there you have it, three ways to participate in First Formation. I hope you'll continue to listen, even if I can't convince you to jump in. This has been Brother Logan Isaac, always faithful, always family. Semper Familia.